Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. God asks of us everything. He asks us to give us everything, our life, our hopes, our dreams, our friends, everything. Give it to Him. Not that He wants necessarily to take away something away from us unless it impedes our relationship with God, then yes, He wants to take that away. But it's so that everything in our lives may be joined to Him and His will. And then everything really does begin to bear fruit. It's another way of speaking about selling everything for the kingdom of God. Giving everything for the kingdom of God. There are ways of doing that even practically. But spiritually, is God, the way I put it is God dead center in your life? Right there. Not just a fringe that you turn to every once in a while. But is He center to your thoughts, your words, your actions in a given day? At least, is He more so as the years go by? It's one of those litmus tests, so to speak. What place does God occupy? It doesn't mean you have to think about Him every moment of the day. You can't. You can't. But in every decision you need to make in a given day, or interactions with people, or whatever the case may be, are you turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me, show me, give me wisdom, teach me? Even saying to people, let's talk about that tomorrow, and then you take it home, you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do with this? Help me. Show me. Read the scriptures. It's amazing how God will speak to you. Doesn't mean He comes down. There's no, you know, trumpet blast, and there's no visual recognition of Him. But you know Him, as scripture says, you know Him by the fruit. The fruit that's going on in your life. Is God present or not? It's one of the most wonderful ways to test whether you really are putting Him first, whether He has the supreme place in your life, practically as well as spiritually. Let's take a look at the readings for today. The first comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 to 16. Beloved, concerning the salvation of your souls, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated, when tested in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow them. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, with regard to the things that now have been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. My goodness, brothers and sisters, you have the prophets that have gone before you, and now you have the Spirit of Christ with you. Listen, pay heed to what God has told us. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Live soberly, set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. You know, we do. We have all kinds of desires. And when we weren't as close to the Lord, those desires kind of ruled the roost. Really, it's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. They governed our way of thinking and acting, our decisions, our emotions. They governed everything. And that's not the case once we've given our lives to Christ, if we seriously mean it. And we just need to turn to Him, because it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, with regard to the things that have now been announced to you. They began to see that it was your welfare, the people they were caring for, it was their welfare that was more important to you than your own. That's a blessing. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like obedient children, do not act in a compliance with the desires of your former ignorance when your values were not those of the kingdom of God, but those of the world. Do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Every aspect of your conduct means all your thoughts, all your words, all your actions, all your relationships, all your goals, all the plans you have in mind for the future, everything. Everything. Make it subservient to Christ. Then it will bear fruit, perhaps not just here in this world, but for all eternity. Take the values of the kingdom of heaven and make them your own. Begin to line your life with the commandments. I know it's not a project that you're supposed to do and then present it to God for his approval. It's a project you take on with him, in him, through him. Relying on him at every moment, turning to him at every moment, seeking him at every moment to show you the way. I don't mean literally every moment. You wouldn't be able to do the work you have to do. But, you know, when your mind lies idle, even for 30 seconds, turn to him. Turn to him. Because he wants to teach and lead and guide and help you. Psalm 98, the Lord has made known his salvation. He's done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness, his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise. You know, I take time in the day, not as often as I should, but as if I'm just walking down a corridor, or I'm going from one office to another at work, I just turn to the Lord and I just thank him for something that I know he's done in my life. Or I thank him more generally. I thank him for his goodness, for his mercy, for his love. I thank him for the ways he's answered my prayer. I thank him that he is ever faithful. Just take time as you're walking from one thing to another, in a certain way, checking in with the Lord. Lord, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're near. Lord, thank you for the way this worked out today. Lord, I'm concerned about this. Will you help me? Whatever the case may be, talk to him. Even though he seems silent, he will not be silent in your soul. Learn how to listen. Be attentive. Not that you get any immediate answer. I don't mean that. Not that you enter into direct conversation. I don't mean that. But as you share with God your thoughts, he draws nearer because you're inviting him. And the nearer he draws, the more grace is there for you to see the truth and to get rid of the darkness. The gospel today is the gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 28 to 31. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." And then he says this very powerful sentence, "Many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." Brothers and sisters, the way we unfortunately judge people, God sees the whole picture. We don't. We draw conclusions when we see only a part of the picture of another person's life. We don't see the whole. Be very careful about making snap judgments. In fact, don't. Turn away from them because you don't have the whole picture. No matter how much you think you know, you don't have the whole picture. Not at all. So open your heart to him. Draw near to him. Let him use you. Brothers and sisters, there is a love that God has for us that wants us to have the very best. And sometimes we ask for things from the Lord and we wonder why God hasn't answered. It's most probably because what we're asking for isn't good for us. Even though we think it might be, we don't see the whole picture that God sees. And we don't see how we can be. Sometimes we're asking for something that's not bad in itself, but we don't recognize that having that something may lead us down a path we would not otherwise go. So when God withholds, it's not because he doesn't love you or care at all. In fact, it's the opposite. He loves you too much to give you that which can lead you to evil very quickly, because he knows your weaknesses better than you know them. So I often say to the Lord, Lord, this is what I think I need. If you think it's something else, then please just let me know what I'm supposed to do. I often pray that way because sometimes I can get very excited or very enthusiastic about something and say, oh, Lord, that would be so great. Lord, let that happen here, or let this happen in my life if it be your will. But I'm kind of still attached to my own will, and I can easily forget. It is amazing the graces and the blessings that God has given. And it's also amazing at the prayers that he did not answer that I thought were so important. Because as I live more years and look back, I say, oh, that would not have been good. And God spared me that, even though at the time I was disappointed. Brothers and sisters, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. You have a Savior, as someone says, a Savior who really desires to save. For heaven's sakes, put yourself under his protection. Put yourself under his lordship. In other words, he is the only God you worship. Don't worship the false gods. They don't deliver. They have all kinds of promises, but they don't deliver. Brothers and sisters, it is a battlefield sometimes to know what's right and what's wrong, which door to open, which door not to open, which door to close with a resounding slam. It's difficult, but the more you spend time with God, the more you allow the rays of his divine love to enlighten your life and to point out the dark spaces in your life, not to discourage you, but to free you. When you're willing to yield to that, you're going to know great peace and you're going to know great joy. I think I can almost promise you that. It's really all in God's hands, and it's not in my hands, so I can't absolutely promise. But I think if you're asking according to the Lord's desires and priorities, he'll answer. His answer may be no, and you may find out why, but often he answers yes. Draw near to him, brothers and sisters. Ask him to lead you in deepening your relationship with him, that you may bear fruit, not only for now, but for all eternity. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.